What's it like?
What's it like?
It's lonely.
It's really lonely.
I miss my brother.
I miss my brother.
I'm surrounded by other people, but it's not the same.
There are other people around me, but it's not the same.
It's pretty scary, but I don't let it rattle me.
It's scary around you, but I don't let it rattle me.
You always have to watch your back.
There's no one to watch my back.
I spend my whole day worried who's out to get me.
I'm always wondering who's out to get me.
But I can take care of myself.
But I can take care of myself.
No matter what, I'll keep my head up.
No matter what, I'll keep my head up.
It's not like I have a choice.
It's not like I have a choice.
This'll all be over in 5 years, 3 months, and 17 days.
Go to jail for a gun crime, and your family serves a sentence with you. Gun crimes hit home.
A public service announcement brought to you by Project Safe Neighborhoods for the Southern District of West Virginia and the Ad Council.
The opinions expressed during this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of News Talk 620 WWNR. WWNR Beckley. Staff, management, or advertisers of News Talk 620 WWNR.
Tonight's head-on Bob Kinkill. Head-on is brought to you every night by the 20,000 members of the Affiliated Construction Trades Foundation. If you're working in West Virginia, we're working for you. Bob Kinkill.
Hey, good evening. Almost 7 minutes after 7 o'clock. That's becoming a habit, isn't it? I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On. It's Friday night. Two days to get through until Monday to get back with you guys. I'll miss you. Doggone it. But some big doings tomorrow. Got some little league going on. If the heavens can refrain from opening up again. Well, of course, it'll be Saturday. We should therefore, I've got an opportunity to get out and play with the tiller. It's going to rain. But whatever. I hope you have a great weekend. And we've got three rock-solid hours of fun ahead of us tonight. I thought in terms of, why don't we just have a little bit. Let's at least get started with a little bit of fun tonight. But before the fun starts... Before the fun starts, a little bit of a goodbye. I don't know if this was on any of the top of the hour news, from time to time, we have referred to the writings, me and that mouse in my pocket, I've referred to the writings of the pretty much rock-solid great American, David Hackworth, Colonel David Hackworth, Hack, as he was known to the people who fought with him and served with him. He's dead. Died, I guess, yesterday. He was 74 years old. Most highly decorated soldier coming out of Vietnam. His own soldiers are still militating for him to be awarded the Congressional Medal of Honor, and he probably deserved it. But he died yesterday in, I believe, Tijuana, Mexico. He was 74 years old. He had cancer of the bladder. And that form of cancer is now appearing with increasing frequency among Vietnam veterans exposed to the defoliants called Agent Orange. We all know about Agent Orange. There's another one, Agent Blue. And Agent Blue may very well have been responsible for Colonel Hackworth's cancer. Started out shining shoes in, Santa Monica, California, I believe, as a little kid during the Second World War, and from that moment on, he knew he wanted to be in the military. Fought in Korea, fought in Vietnam, and more than anything else, he fought for the men in his commands. And most noteworthily, as we became entangled in this ugly little blood fest that was done with ever so little planning, ever so little care, this arachnire, he spoke out bravely and boldly on that. And in his honor, Soldiers for the Truth is working on legal action to compel the Pentagon to recognize Agent Blue alongside Agent Orange as a killer and to help veterans exposed to it during the Vietnam War. And you gotta respect this. It is said that his last words he said to his doctor were, "If I die, tell..." Well, I don't want to dishonor his... Ellis, his wife, E-I-L-H-Y-S, I apologize. "Tell her I was grateful for every moment she bought me, every extra moment I got to spend with her. Tell her my greatest achievement is the love the two of us shared. A great man has passed. He will be buried at Arlington National Cemetery." Now, on to laughable Republican stupidity. And as preface, you remember during this late, great legislative session, or what I like to call the howling waste of West Virginia's money, we had the great fracas over naming a chunk of highway after Hank Williams Sr. Now, don't get me wrong, I love Hank Williams Sr.'s music. It's him, the Beatles, Elvis, you know, it's, and him before either of the other two. Pretty much charted the course of American music. And we had legislators, one in particular, who wanted to name a chunk of, what is it, U.S., well, not U.S., State Route, is it 16 in Fayette County, is it 16? And wanted to name that after Hank Williams. Okay, no problem, you know, whatever. But there arose a foo-fraw over it. Well, the other one, listen to or hear any of Jerry Clower's great comedy routines, especially the one where the guy climbs up the tree to get the coon, and it turns out to be a wildcat of some sort, and he keeps screaming, "Knock him out, John," to the guy below him, knock him out, John!" John's afraid he's going to hit one or the other, and he says, "I'm afraid I hit you," and he says, "I don't care, one of us up here got to have some relief." Well, this is that story, kind of. After the stupidity of the Hank Williams highway debacle here in West Virginia, well, you know how it is in Texas. They've got to be bigger, better, dumber, stupider, whatever, than anybody else. So they must have caught wind of it. So there's a state legislator in Texas, a decent guy, Gonzalo Barrientos. He's an Austin Democrat. He offered a bill that would propose, that proposed to name a 49-mile stretch of Texas Highway 130 that's being built around Austin. He wanted to name it in honor of Willie Nelson. And if you think about the things that Willie Nelson has done for Texas and done for the Austin area, well, it seems fitting, doesn't it? Anybody here got a problem with them naming it? I don't. But of course, this is a story of abject Republican stupidity. So there has to be a Republican objection, right? Yep. Dumber than a bag of hammers. Two Republican senators, Steve Ogden O'Brien and Jeff Wentworth of San Antonio. Steve and Jeff in the morning. Now, Steve Ogden O'Brien and Jeff Wentworth of San Antonio, they said they didn't want Nelson's name on the road that crosses their districts. I don't want his name on no road what crosses my district. They didn't want his name on the road crossing their district because they said, "That there Willie Nelson, he's awful fond and son and all the time singing songs about drinking that liquor. He's a liquor drinker. We don't need to be naming no roads across in our good not liquor drinking districts after him. Ain't nobody in our district, our good, godly, upstanding, Christian, pious, Republican district, ain't none of them drinks none of that same liquor what Willie Nelson drinks. Well, I am afraid Whiskey River has taken these two guys' minds. And what's more, he smokes. That's right. Willie Nelson smokes, and we don't want nobody what smokes his names on no highway what's across in our good, godly, upstanding, fine, pious, church-going, not liquor-drinking, not smoking district. But there's one more thing. They also didn't care for his fondness for active campaigning for Democratic candidate. No, no, we don't want the name of no fella what's all the time running around drinking liquor and the smoking stuff on the highway, name of the highway of what's going across our good, godly, upstanding, pious Christian church-going district, what's all the time drinking and smoking, and what's more, actively campaigning for none of them Democrats.
Oh, my God.
Can you believe this? How much, concerts, revenues, ticket sales, t-shirts, whatever, how much has Willie Nelson done for that area? But then I got to thinking about it. You remember Farm Aid? When he got together, it's not surprising. These people, there are thousands, millions of people like this freak Steve Ogden and this freak Jeff Wentworth. Millions of them. Do you hear Willie Nelson drinks whiskey and smokes that marijuana? What would people think of Texas if we was to make them a highway? Do you remember Farm Aid? Sure you do. Among others, Willie Nelson came out and busted his hump to raise money to help small, and I don't mean short, you know, but the small American farmers. Yeah, about 4'2". No, small-time American family farmers helped them during the Reagan-era destruction of American family farming. Willie and John Mellencamp and others came out and crisscrossed the country trying to raise money to save those family farms. And they did. And they succeeded in many instances. Now, where are those family farms? Flyover country, you know, in Heartland, that would be your red states. It'd be your red states there. Well, how do you suppose those red state farmers vote? Well, you might not remember it, but Willie endorsed my guy, Dennis Kucinich, in the primary process last year because he knew, that, as many of us did, that Dennis was the best antidote to anything Bush. But that's how it is in the Pigler world. Any kindness done them, they will return, you know, with a shiv in the back. You know, with a shank in the heart. Because it's what they do. It's what they're best at. They're Republicans. You wouldn't want one with you in a combat situation. You wouldn't want one with you in a dark alley. You wouldn't want one with you at your back. Because the minute trouble comes, send your order! It's the way Republicans are. So, bravo on the Brazos to Republicans Steve Ogden of Bryan and Jeff Wentworth of San Antonio for protecting the fine, good, godly, moral, upstanding, church-going, pious people of Texas from having a highway named after Willie Nelson. Gonzalo Barrientos said he wanted to honor Nelson for so much good music and so many good works. Well, I wouldn't say there was so many good works since out there he's out there all the time actively campaigning for them Democratic candidates. How can you call them good works? That's communism. Hey. And that's just one stupid set of Republican antics. I got two or three more. Lots of fun. So we're going to take our break. We'll come back. Sit down. We got giggles for Friday. This is Set On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
We'll find the witch, buddy boy.
Get ready and get lost. You can make a difference for those who suffer from arthritis. Join Colony Grow, the Arthritis Foundation, and Southern Communications for Beckley's Second Arthritis Walk, Thursday on the Memphis Memorial Rail Trail, starting at Tudor Park. help fight some sleeping cause of disability, arthritis. It's not too late to come to with your friends and family. For details, call Colony Drug and Wellness Center, 252-5305, and help us make a difference in the fight against arthritis this Thursday at noon of the park.
Spring is here, so that means it's time for Toyota's Spring Sales Event. And it's easy as 1, 2, 3. Great prices, great selections, no hassles. Choose from over 200 Toyotas. Start the drive with zero down and make no payments till fall. That's right, zero down and zero payments till fall. Brand new 2005 Toyota Corollas, Camrys, 4Runners, Highlanders, Land Cruisers, Siennas, and more. With 17 models to choose from, find out which one is right for you. Spring Sales Event. Sign and buy with zero down and no payments till fall. Rush to M&S Toyota. 300 Rollmakers Drive in Brickley. It's as easy as 1, 2, 3. Great prices, great selection. No hassle. Hurry, because when the spring sales event ends, so do the savings. Sign and buy with zero down and no payments till fall. On select models of the group that ends, cruise made purchase in Jasper, Lowell, Pfizer, Lowell, 306, and up to 60 months, 6.5% of your pilot's offer ends 531.05.
Where there's a tornado,
where there's a forest fire,
where Mother Nature is at her worst.
Where there's a search,
where there's a rescue.
Where there are Americans in need.
Where there
are disaster strikes,
or one volunteer force.
Helping each other and simply doing what needs to be done.
We are the Civil Air Patrol,
the official auxiliary of the U.S. Air Force.
To join, call 1-800-FLY-2338.
Or log on to the World Wide Web at www.cap.gov.
He's got the heart of the conservatives, pickled on a jar on his desk. Here's Bob Kincaid.
Well, you know, the term Reichsführer is an OKW term from Oberkommando Wehrmacht. It means signals leader.
Oh, okay. Very good. I'm impressed.
There you go. You know, just a couple things as they fly out of my teeming brain. Sorry about that.
Yeah, I know.
I saw Gorgeous George and Sweet Lolly Luke deplane in Latvia, in Riga. I guess it was Riga. This afternoon, and I thought to myself, you know, who are you to be reminding and rubbing Putin's nose in what happened back in 1940 when Stalin annexed Latvia, Lithuania, and Estonia, when you are such a great diplomat yourself, you know?
No, I know. There's no end to the hypocrisy. Of course, you know,
I thought to myself, that's one man who knows you really don't have to tweak if you can see it in his soul.
Well, he tried it, and Putin is tweaking back. Putin is going to tweak back. There's going to be a segment with Vladimir Putin on 60 Minutes on Sunday night.
Well, you know, basically, now, I am no apologist for Joseph Stalin, and I think he was one of the worst men who ever lived.
Yeah.
But basically, in 1940... when Nazi Germany was at the absolute zenith of its power, and Russia had just fought a disastrous war with Finland, and of course Stalin had killed all of the generals in his army with the purges. I mean, he killed most of the army corps. I mean, for Russia to annex those three provinces as buffer states would, you know, really, it was a necessary thing to do. I mean, I don't approve of what they did, but I can understand why they did it for the sake of expediency, okay?
Well, and there's a lot of that in politics. Like, it's expedient if you want to go bomb the snot out of a country that had nothing to do with 9/11. It is expedient to make up the evidence to support doing that.
And plus, those provinces had been part of the old Russian Empire.
That much is true. But, you know, I gotta back you up for a minute there.
Sure.
I gotta back you up for a minute there. You said, I am no apologist for Stalin. You know,
right.
I don't want to confuse the little Republicans in the audience, because they're easily, they probably think that you just said you refuse to apologize for Stalin.
I think Joseph Stalin was probably worse than Adolf Hitler. He certainly killed more people. He just got away with it because he was on the winning side.
Exactly, but you know, you got to remember, we got to use little words because you know, there are a lot of Republicans out there who hang on our every words.
Well, I understand that, but that's due to their own ignorance. They need to get a history book and read it. And there's something else I wanted to share with you, and I'll get away from Joseph Stalin and company.
Okay.
And I just happened to see this, and it's in tomorrow, is, of course, the running of the Kentucky Derby.
For Saturday, anything?
You know, horse racing in this country it was one of the biggest main sports since around 1600.
Right.
And a lot of the jockeys used to be black. Did you know that?
Yes, yes. Slaves in some instances.
There was one jockey, and I can't remember his name, and it's on the tip of the I hope I'm not getting Alzheimer's, but it's on the tip of my tongue, but I can't pull it off. And it was, you know, I mentioned it on Dr. Bill's show this afternoon. But there's a book about this man. And around the turn of the century, from the 19th into the 20th century, racial prejudice eliminated the black jockey from the racing circuit. And so this gentleman went to Moscow. He went to Russia.
Huh.
Now, oddly enough, here's the story, this is a side story, okay? Have you ever heard of Alexander Pushkin?
Yes, of course.
Now, he of course, is one of Russia's most venerated poets. He's known as the Lord Byron of Russia. He was half black, or part black.
Really?
Yeah, because his ancestor, Ibrahim Hannibal, was imported into Russia by Peter the Great as an engineer from Ethiopia. I mean, when Peter the Great was trying to westernize his country, he didn't care what color skin you were or who you were, as long as you could, you know...
Get the job done.
Get the job done, exactly. No discrimination whatsoever. I mean, Peter was a hard man, and I would not have liked to work for him, but I'll guarantee you he got the job done, and Pushkin was part black, and... I've been in his study at Pushkin Selo, which was a form of the Tsar, Tsarskoye Selo, and on the desk there's a paperweight of a black man standing against a cotton bale.
Huh.
But getting back to this black jockey, he left and went to Russia. This was in the reign, I think it was Tsar Alexander III. And he was there until the end, under Nicholas II. But he won the Moscow Derby four times and was a renowned race... a jockey in Russia. And when the revolution came, he escaped from Odessa because that was the last anti-red stronghold in the country. And he escaped overland with 1,100 people and a flock of horses and was instrumental in the saving of their lives. And some of the horses died and they had to eat them on the way. That's how desperate they were. But he made it into Austria and set up a riding school there. Of course, the 30s were rolling around about this time, and guess who was coming to power in Germany and what next, Austria in 1938.
Right.
And he didn't like black people, our friend the Führer.
Didn't care for the Schwarzes.
And so the guy escaped to France and went to Paris and set up his own business there with horses and trained jockeys and things of that nature. Well, basically, when the Nazis came, they didn't exactly like any Schwarzes for being around. I mean, they did the same thing to, the black woman who took Paris by storm in the 20s. Josephine Baker, right. But this gentleman actually fought the Nazis with a pitchfork when they tried to abuse his horses. Well, he was able to escape back to America, the only place he could go.
Some escape,
and he had $9 in his pocket. And somehow he managed to survive. He came back to the post-war France and reestablished his own business as a jockey trainer because he was getting a little long in the teeth for riding those horses.
Mm-hmm.
But this guy was eminently successful in France.
Yeah.
And when he came back to America in 1961 to make a presentation at the running of the Kentucky Derby, they wouldn't let him in. They really didn't know who he was, yet he was a guest of honor.
Oh, brother.
And to his daughter, who was part Russian, said, listen, my father, and he is one of your guests of honor. Then he was allowed in the front door of the hotel where they were holding the meeting. But, I mean, you talk about some guy who has a lot of guts for a little jockey and an African-American who overcame discrimination in this country and went to Russia and then was chased by, well, in this country it was the Bedsheet Brigade, in Russia it was the Bolsheviks, in Austria it was the Nazis, in France it was the Nazis again.
More Nazis.
Because, you know, Bob, so many people had left those countries to go into France and places like that to get away from that crap.
Yeah.
And then it just followed them back in 1940 when Hitler overran France and the Benelux countries. And everywhere else, worse in Europe. But anyway, and then to have to come back and deal with it here. But there is a book about him now, and if I think about it, I'll email you and tell you what it is. But I just,
I'd like to read it. That would be fascinating.
But I thought it might make an interesting story. And, you know, it's a story of courage, and Dr. Bill was talking about entrepreneurial spirit and things like that. I don't know of many people in my life that I've ever met that would have the courage to uproot themselves and fight that kind of prejudice and be successful in foreign lands, learning new languages, habits, customs, and to stand out like a sore thumb as an African-American or an African, and to be so eminently successful. It's just one of the most heartwarming, heart-rending stories I've ever heard.
That's got a movie written all over it.
Yeah, and for him to escape from Odessa with 1,100 white Russians who were, of course, fleeing the Red Tyranny and the red knives and sabers and bullets and pistols, and to make it into Austria.
And it's hard enough to start over once, let alone four or five times. Jim, we've got a roll over at the bottom of the hour break.
Okay.
All right, take care. Have a great weekend. And it is break time. We'll be back. Your calls, 252-6200. We're having trouble with the stream, doggone it. We'll see what we can do to get it fixed. This is News Talk 620 WWNR. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Federal criminal complaint has been filed against a Russian immigrant charged with smuggling cigarettes. Sergei Chernivinsky was stopped for speeding near Beckley on Tuesday. State police found 37 full cases of untaxed cigarettes. Police say Chernivinsky was taking the cigarettes to New York to sell them. A Greenbrier County woman will spend 5 years probation for embezzling thousands of dollars from State Farm Insurance. Tony Williams of Alderson pleaded guilty in March to taking the money between 1988 and 2001 from the office she worked at in Fairleigh. Williams received payments on auto insurance premiums from customers, and rather than apply those payments to their accounts, she would take the money herself or apply payments to other accounts to conceal her previous actions. She was fired 4 years ago. In addition to the probation sentence, U.S. District Judge David Faber ordered Williams to pay more than $27,000 in restitution and also spend 6 months on home confinement. Investigators think a furnace is to blame for a fire yesterday afternoon at a house in Fairdale. A furnace and heat pump were being installed when the fire started in the attic of the Bronte Hollow home. The fire burned the entire roof structure of the home, and there was also smoke and water damage. Damage is estimated at around $50,000. A retired couple who live in the house were able to escape unharmed. The Trap Hill Fire Department spent several hours on the scene, bringing the blaze under control. The state fire marshal is also investigating that blaze. All the buzz was in a Beckley neighborhood this week as a swarm of about 40,000 bees were seen swarming. The bees were first noted by workers at Tony's Meats on Market Road. A worker hit a metal cart, mimicking the sound of thunder, and the bees flew off to a nearby bush. On Wednesday, the swarm aligned on a tree next to the meat market's dumpster. Local beekeeper William Milam was able to get the swarm into a cage. He took them to their new home and crab orchard in his backyard. For the rest of this evening, cloudy with a chance of showers and thunderstorms still later tonight. Locally heavy rainfalls are still possible tonight. Temperatures in the upper 50s, and then for tomorrow, showers and thunderstorms in the morning, then a chance of showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon, otherwise partly cloudy and cooler, tomorrow's high only in the mid-60s. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham.
And I'm Jesse Russell.
AFL-CIO Organizing Director Stuart Acuff says American workers are under such sustained attack that the real legal right to organize is virtually gone.
We've lost the right to organize in this country. American workers have lost any effective right to organize or bargain collectively.
Acuff says dividing labor and bleeding resources away from the AFL-CIO, as a handful of dissident unions are threatening to do, weakens labor in its darkest hour.
It would cut into very important work, like the work on politics and legislation, which go hand in glove with organizing.
Acuff says labor is under the worst attack in 80 years, and unity now is absolutely vital.
We're looking at the worst assault on working people, working families, and the labor movement in this country in 80 years, since the Bonneville Raids of 1919, and we need unity now more than ever.
Acuff is convinced that the AFL-CIO leadership is doing what it should be doing as far as organizing is concerned, and he says that organizing goes hand in glove with politics and legislative action.
Six labor unions walked out of congressionally mandated meetings with Defense Department management and union leaders on Monday. They're asking Congress to reverse new civil service rules put in place by the department that affect 650,000 civilian workers. The NFE, International Association of Machinists, the International Association of Firefighters, the National Association of Government Employees, the National Association of Independent Labor, and the AFL-CIO Metal Trades Department all walked out in solidarity. The new rules would restrict union bargaining rights, eliminate the seniority raise system in exchange for a reward system, and create strict disciplinary rules. The unions have begun to lobby Congress and expect a heated battle.
Talks continue at Angelica Laundry, where thousands of Unite Here workers are fighting to win improved pay and working conditions. Unite Here's Amanda Cooper.
Angelica issued a statement jointly in the shops with us earlier this week, telling the workers that, you know, we're continuing to talk, we're making progress, we're hopeful for a resolution, and that we appreciate everybody's patience.
Later this month, the union will be defending a Batavia, New York Angelica worker that Unite Here says was fired for union activity.
Here's today's Dow Bob Report. Although African Americans suffer from higher rates of unemployment than any other race, that hasn't always been the case. In 1997, the black unemployment rate was at 10% and dropped steadily until it hit a low of 7.6% in 2000. However, much of that has been reversed over the last 4 years, as blacks have watched the unemployment rate increase faster than any other race, peaking at 10.7% in 2003.
To the news leader again, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
WWNR Beckley.
He's not afraid. He's not afraid to use it. Liberally, of course. Here's Bob Kincaid.
And yeah, the stream's down. Sorry. Like I can. Never mind. Technical difficulties beyond our control, though. This is not our screw up. No, back to Republican stupidity, round two. You know that that little pamphlet that a bunch of liberal radicals put together in about, the 1780s? A little pamphlet, not a whole lot of density to it. It kind of describes how the United States government's going to work, and then it goes on to expressly state certain rights that the government will not stomp on. In my country, we call it the Constitution. God only knows what they call it in the Pigler world, that irritating document, maybe. Well, my favorite part of the Constitution is the First Amendment. And the First Amendment, of course, guarantees freedom of assembly, freedom of and from religion, and freedom of speech. It's a beautiful thing. And during the election cycle, we talked about how, among other things, you know, the churches are tax-exempt organizations. They're called 501c3s, I do believe. And as a 501c3, you're not supposed to go out there and do any active politicking, because you're a charitable organization, and as such, you're supposed to be sort of above the fray. Well, not so, and I'm so glad this is not a West Virginia story. See, we don't have to feel as bad as the rest of the country wants to make us feel. You know, we got some pretty stupid legislators, and they do some pretty dumb things, like the roadkill bill, the tongue-splitting bill, not being able to pass a law that allows women to breastfeed when they need to. Dumb things. But for the most part, there's a whole lot more stupidity outside of West Virginia than there is in it. In large part because we don't have nearly as many Republicans as a lot of other states have. Like North Carolina. You can't swing a dead cat in North Carolina without hitting a Republican. And apparently they're really thick. Thick as thieves, as the saying goes. In Waynesville, North Carolina, which is in western North Carolina. And they're really, really, really thick at the East Waynesville Baptist Church. Mavis, Bob's going to beat on the Baptists again, daggummit. Yeah, I'm going to beat on these Baptists. I'm going to hammer them. Now, the preacher there is a right reverend fellow named Chan Chandler. Chan Chandler, the Reverend Chan Chandler. And the Reverend Chan Chandler, he likes to keep a pretty close watch on his flock. Mavis is talking about close watches. You know this is going to be another one of them sexual perversion Baptist stories. No, it's not. No, it's not. No, they're in beautiful Haywood County, North Carolina, at the East Waynesville Baptist Church in western North Carolina. Man, you got to have a compass for this story. Back before the election, the Reverend Chan Chandler stood in the pulpit of his charitable organization under IRS code 501c3, and he actively campaigned for George W. Milk a Horse. George W. Bush is going to be the salvation of this great nation. Them heathen Muslims are going to be all over America if you don't re-elect George W. Bush. But, well, he was so serious about it, he went into the pulpit Sunday and stood in the pulpit and named names of people that he claims did not vote for George W. Bush in the last election. Named these people. Now, what? And we're worried about the election. Which apparently, how did this guy know who voted for whom? Did he demand to be able to go in the booth with him? But he stood in the pulpit and said, and Brad Finkel's wife is Weissenstein. He didn't vote for George W. Bush. He is not a Christian. No. And he excommunicated him. Now, I don't know where a bunch of Baptists get off excommunicating anybody. I always thought that was the Roman Catholic Church's gig, but man, who am I? You know, the breaking of the candles, and you bow out anathema, I excommunicate thee, and you throw the big candle on the floor, and the king feels bad, and, the Reverend Chan Chandler excommunicated 9 members of the East Waynesville Baptist Church on a Sunday. And he said, well, what it is the church members are upset because I named people. But I do it again because my Lord Jesus told me to do it. And I did it according to the word of God. No, this is not that goofy station that runs over top of our signal a little bit later that comes out of Knoxville. This is still WWNR. I just passed up on a really, really lucrative profession as an evangelist once upon a time. I would do it again because it is according to the word of God to call out the Democrats. Yay. So he excommunicated 9 members and 40 others followed. One former church member, who is nameless according to this Associated Press report, said that the Reverend Chan Chandler, told some of the members that if they didn't support George Bush, they needed to resign their positions and get out of the church or go to the altar, repent, and agree to vote for Bush. I have sinned against you. Sorry, having my little Jimmy Swaggart. No, I've sinned. Yeah, this is real. A former church treasurer said that she's at church to worship God and not the preacher. Well, apparently that's not how it works at the East Waynesville Baptist Church. This is how, I mean, I'm having my fun. But this is how the wild-eyed fascist religion industry right feels right now. They think they've got the bit in their teeth and they can do anything they want to. I excommunicate you nine demon crats. Bring me a Jew so that I'll be put into the sword. Yeah. That's what you get out of a Baptist anymore. Poison.
Yea, verily, in 40-second flip-floppians, it saith, women submit to your husbands, and congregationalists submit to your preacher, who probably hasn't more than a seventh grade education and has about as much religious knowledge as a hog does about Sunday dinner, and submit thou unto thy preacher, so that he may tell you for whom thou mayest vote in the name of the Most Almighty God.
The East Waynesville Baptist Church. Why do I never get these stories about Lutherans? Not even the Methodists. I don't get these stories about the Presbyterians or the Frisbyterians. You know the Frisbyterians. They believe when you die, your soul goes up on the roof and you can't get it down. The Episcopalians? God knows I don't get these stories about the Universalists. The only time you see these really, really bizarre stories, they're coming out of the Baptist Church, or they're coming out of some weird, ultra-conservative mosque. Now, there's a big stink brewing up in Morgantown right now, because a woman has stood up on her hind legs and walked through the front door of the mosque where the boys are praying, and got down there and prayed right with them. And they're saying, women, get thee up to the balcony where thou canst not see me nor we thee. That's where you need to be doing your praying. That's like this. Maybe this is worse. This is the poisoning of America by the Baptist Church. Did you remember the quote I had from James Madison the other night? Sometimes religious sects may degenerate into political factions from what, Federalist number 10? And I talk about how the operative word there is degenerate. This is a degenerate church. This guy openly violated the laws of the United States of America. Sunday by Sunday by Sunday by Sunday, and it's a Baptist church, so Wednesday by Wednesday by Wednesday by Wednesday, and Sunday night by Sunday night by Sunday night by Sunday night, violated the laws of the United States of America that you and I have to live by. But because he did it in the name of a bunch of Republican punks, he gets away with it. Now, was it last night or the night before that I had the story for you about the warning coming down from Elaine, I hate working people, Chow, the Secretary of Labor. You know, the Bush administration. The same people that have spent millions and millions of your dollars producing fake news pieces supporting the dismantling of Social Security. The same administration that has spent millions and millions of your dollars for that judge-eared, pig-eyed little lout to fly around America and tell people about his Social Security program. Yeah, that Bush administration, the Bush administration Labor Department, has sent out threats against organized labor, telling them they'd best be careful how they spend their money opposing the president's Social Security privatization scheme. They had best be careful how they do that, because Big Brother is watching. Yeah, that Bush administration that threatens working people, that gives a pass to megalomaniacal Baptist ministers in East Waynesville, North Carolina, who want to excommunicate people for the way they vote. Damn him.
Chan Chandler, upstanding righteous man of God.
Burn him. Burn him straight to hell in a hurry. They was upset because I named people. I named the Democrats who voted for that John Kerry. And I would do it again, yay, Jesus. I would do it again because it is the word of God. Sounds to me like it was the word of Chan Chandler. And Chan Chandler has decided that he is the word of God. This is what you get in a cult. It's called a cult of personality. Cult of personality. Where the guy standing in the box at the top of the, at the front of the room is more important than the message. Now, some 40 people have left the church as a result of the mad ravings of the Reverend Chan Chandler. But you know what's disturbing? There is another number of people who didn't. There is another group of people within that hateful little congregation of filth that stood by Chan Chandler and agreed with him for throwing out their brothers and sisters in Christ for not having the right political views. Is that the Christianity that you were raised with? It isn't the one I was. Is that the understanding of Christianity which you were taught from the time you were tiny? It isn't the one I was taught. No, not at all. Oh. 49 people gone out of that church. 49 people chased away from Jesus Christ by a monster who thinks that George Bush is Christ. Now, a simple question. Should this clown's 501c3 designation be pulled? Of course it should. Politics is about the filthiest thing you could bring into a church. And one might even say it's an almost demonic presence inside one. And the Reverend Chan Chandler, upstanding ordained Baptist minister, flung the church doors wide and said, "Come on in, Beelzebub, split my church, because my politics are more important than my soul." And you dare wonder, why I despise and loathe people like this. Why I refuse to call them Christians. Why I call them religion industrialists and evangelo-fascists. Is there anything in your heart that tells you that Christ Jesus, Yeshua, the brown-skinned Palestinian carpenter who walked the dust of Judea and never owned so much as a pot cooking, do you think that he would approve of this? Demanding that people come down to the altar and fall on their knees and beg forgiveness for the vote that they cast in this secular republic. "Oh, forgive me, Pastor Chandler. I voted for John Kerry, but I repent. I'll never do it again. I'll never vote for another Democrat. Please just bring me back into your warm and loving bosom, Pastor Chandler." I can usually keep my equanimity in most stories, but this one just makes me want to use all those words I'd be ashamed for my mother to know I know how to use. God rest her soul. All those fun little FCC nightmares just want to come flying out of my mouth like little bats when I think about Chan Chandler, mainstream Baptist minister, declaring how people may vote in this republic. Here's the fun part. What do you want to bet? Now, this is addressed to the decent people. What do you want to bet there are some little like one of the Republican monkey bats out there hopping up and down with their little wings a flapping, going, Bob, there ain't no such thing as, there ain't no such words as separation of church and state in the First Amendment of the Constitution. There ain't no such thing as separation of the church and state in the First Amendment of the Constitution. That's the future you're looking at if you let these fascist freaks take over our country. These religion industrialists. I'm not talking about the Christians. I'm talking about the demon-possessed monsters like Chan Chandler of the East Waynesville Baptist Church. Any of you little Republicans want to try to justify this creep? I'll take your silence as, nah, you'll take a pass. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
This is the sound of local charities, food drives, and disaster relief without local broadcasters. But with the help of local broadcasters, things can change.
We're here at the 6th annual Action News Run to Fight Cancer. What makes this event unique is the large number of runners who are actual cancer survivors.
All across America, thousands of local broadcasters are an active part of their communities, sponsoring events that offer hope to those who need it. And it doesn't stop there. America's local broadcasters provide free airtime for radiothons, disaster relief, and raise millions for charity.
Broadcasting live from the City Mall, where you can bring your donations to help kids throughout our area.
While we can't always control the world around us, communities can rely on broadcasters for local information all at the touch of a button.
We're tracking the storm system, and it looks like it's moving past our area. But authorities are urging people.
America's local broadcasters, always on, always there when you need us. Brought to you by this station and the National Association of Broadcasters.
Hi, you've reached the Johnsons. We're not available to take your call. If you're calling about the apartment for rent, please leave your name and number after the beep, and someone will get back to you.
Hi, my name is Sanjay Rana. I would like to make an appointment to see the apartment.
Oh, hi, this is Robin DePaola, and I'm calling about the apartment. Please give me a call back at 2.
Hello, this is Rafael Perez. Please call me back at 7:00.
This is Jimmy 2. I'd like to talk to you about the apartment. If you can, please call me back.
Hello, my name is Clayton Anderson. I'm calling about the ad in the Sunday paper.
Oh, hello, this is Mrs. Johnson. You must be calling about the apartment.
I am. Is it still available?
Well, you're the first person to call about it. Are you available?
Housing discrimination of all kinds is illegal in the U.S. If you think you've been a victim because of your race, color, national origin, sex, religion, disability, or family status, call 800-669-9777 or visit fairhousinglaw.org. Fair housing. It's not an option. It's the law. Brought to you by HUD, the Ad Council, and LCCRAF.
Influenza is serious.
Are you talking to me?
If you have asthma or diabetes, are 50 or older, have a child 6 to 23 months, or live or work with those at high risk, yes, get immunized. A message from the National Foundation for Infectious Diseases.
Time for a pop quiz. Just answer a few fun questions for me. Which movie star plays the best action hero? Name your favorite leading man. Name a movie star who was just in a Broadway play. Oh, I've got one more. What part does your kid have in the school play? Know what really matters. When you know all about your kid's school, you know all about your kid. Visit www.pga.org to find 100 simple ways to get involved. A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA.
Proud of over 50 years of broadcasting history. You can depend on us. News Talk 620, WWNR, Beckley, it's 8 o'clock.
Hello, I'm here to see the apartment.
Boy, this place is nice.
Hi there.
Oh my goodness, he's black.
How many square feet is it?
Oh, it's perfect. Look at that massive light.
It's 1,000.
I can't rent to him. He probably doesn't even have a job.
What kind of deposit will you need?
I can't wait to move in.
Actually, well,
go ahead. Say it. He'll never know.
Is something wrong?
What's going on here?
Oh my, I forgot. This apartment's been rented.
There. It wasn't so bad.
Yes. Why are you showing it to me then?
She's totally lying. I don't believe this.
I'm terribly sorry. My mistake.
That was easy. He'll never know.
Housing discrimination is illegal. If you think you've been a victim because of your race, color, national origin, sex, religion, disability, or family status, call 800-669-9777 or visit fairhousinglaw.org. Fair housing. It's not an option. It's the law. Brought to you by HUD, the Ad Council, and LCCREF.
Welcome back. Yeah, I'm not done with the Reverend Chan Chandler, because this is the best part. Chandler could not be reached for comment today. We've heard that somewhere before, haven't we? Guy runs out, stomps all over somebody's constitutional rights, and can't be reached for comment. Don't you love the way people, you know, they motor them around and they just run away. Chan Chandler told some of the members that if they didn't support George Bush, they needed to resign their positions and get out of the church or go to the altar and repent and agree to vote for Bush. You know, I'm going to break into speaking in tongues here. Let's get something straight. Where have all the great programs in this country that reach out to the poor and take care of the miserable and the sick and the ailing and the aged? Okay, never mind the sick and the ailing. We don't have any universal health care yet. But every decent program that looks after or attempts to even give a tinker's damn about some or about the least amongst, where have those programs come from? The Democratic Party. But Bob, don't you remember when the Republicans authored that great social program? No, never mind. Well, what about that great Republic? No. Well, then there was that really cool Republican program to feed. No. Well, what about that Republican bill that would have made it possible for poor people? No, that didn't happen either. Nope, none of them. Not a one. Every single decent thing that has ever been passed out of our government for the middle class and the lower class to make their lives a little bit better, to ameliorate that idea that life is nasty, brutish, and short, has come from the Democratic Party. And this punk, Chan Chandler, is telling people that they need to repent for being Democrats? Wow. False prophets? False prophets, anyone? Breathtaking. What a dirty... is this guy going to be rebuked by the overarching arm of the Baptist Church? Absolutely not. Because you know what? He thinks just like the high, exalted, 32nd, noble, mucky-mucks of the Southern Baptist Convention do. You know Jerry Falwell is convinced that voting for a Democrat is a demonic possession. Same goes for Pat Robertson and the rest of those creepy Christian Reconstructionists. But what matters is, how do you feel? Is that okay? It's not okay by me. Let's go to the phones. Wayne is with us. Hey, Wayne, you head on.
I'm sitting here going, am I going to get that big beep or what's going to go on?
I got to call in one of these shows sometimes so I can hear the beep. I got no idea what the beep is.
Well, you want to take off Monday night? I'll fill in for you. You can call me. gosh.
What's going on?
Oh, we were back out on, not really a picket line, just, kind of, hey, here, do you know this?
Yeah, constitutional rights.
Informational stuff. I don't know. I don't know how to describe it. I told you last night, they had a meeting, and, the management called a meeting of the nurses that are involved in this and all that, and I thought, well, good, this will be resolved. We could go home. And they called them in there, and all they did was threaten them with more stuff.
Oh, that's just beautiful.
Yeah,
You mean like if you cross the street and go stand there with those no good rabble rousing labor people that are supporting you, we'll fire you? That kind of thing?
That's exactly what I mean. That's exactly. They threatened them with their jobs, their life. You know, not their life, but, you know.
Their livelihoods.
Yeah, a substantial disruption of their life. And that's so sad. And I want to say, you know, publicly on this too, at the rally tomorrow is there's going to be a television crew from West Virginia Works, which is a weekly television program on Sundays at 11 o'clock.
Yeah, kind of a sister to this show.
Exactly. And we have called and left messages for Mr. Massey and for Ted Weichel.
I don't know.
You know, he used to be with WAOY or whatever. I've met him. I know I've met him a couple times. But anyway, we're going to have a camera crew there, television crew and recording crew, and we offer them the opportunity to come out and explain their side of the story.
Sure.
You know,
well, and again, just to be clear on things, when the nursing, whether there's a nursing shortage, not a nursing shortage, yada, 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 we're not in that. We're not in that fight.
No.
What we'd like to know is why these people's First Amendment rights were violated.
That's exactly what we want. And, you know, I don't understand. I mean, I really was hoping that it was resolved yesterday. You apologized. Why can't somebody just say, well, look, man, I made a mistake.
It takes a mighty big man like me to do that, Wayne.
Yes.
But, you know, I mean, there's a lot of people in this audience that are fond of reading the Old Testament, and what's that line about, but Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he would not let the people go? Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm not real familiar with that line, but certainly fits.
Yeah, trust me on it. I wouldn't lie to you.
Yes, well, I can trust you on that. I do know that. But anyway, I want to tell you, it's a good feeling to be out there. The support of the public is amazing. Now, I think Ed said 7 in 10. It's at least that.
Yeah. You mean,
it's at least that.
Giving a little beep and a wave and a...
Yeah. And you know, Staniford Road, when Woodrow gets out, do you know how he's been there in that traffic?
Oh, yeah. It's.
I mean, I don't know. There's a, 30 or 45 minute period where... And
it's
we're standing there, and school's getting out, and a school bus stops, you know, right in front of us. And a kid kind of pushes down that top part of the window, and he looks, and I have a sign that says, ARH Management is breaking the law.
Mm-hmm.
And the kid looks at it, and he said, what law are they breaking? I said, they've violated these people's First Amendment rights. I said, it's the First Amendment. That's the freedom to speech, or freedom of speech. And the kid said, "Oh, I really like that one." He said, "But it gets me in a lot of trouble."
He
became a card, you know. I mean, he might need a job 10 years from now.
Yeah, if he likes that First Amendment, he'd be in good company.
Exactly. So.
So 9 until whenever tomorrow.
10.
Or 10 till whenever.
10 till whenever.
Okay.
You know, everybody give him. I'll be over there. You know, I'll be over there probably a little bit earlier than a lot.
Well, I and at least some portion of my tribe will be over there as well.
Well, I like to say, we invite, you know,
this ain't a union thing.
No, it isn't a union thing. It's a working person's thing.
It's
working people.
It's an American thing. It's a constitutional thing. Either the First Amendment means something or it means nothing.
Well, I'm going to tell you something that I'm rather shocked at. I called the Register Herald twice.
Mm-hmm.
And today some guy came over and took a picture and things.
Okay.
And, you know, I mean, I kind of thought, I told the woman I talked to, I said, I don't know, you know, it would seem to me you guys might be interested in this, seeing that, like, the First Amendment is what gives you a right to exist.
Yeah, I mean,
but, you know, apparently it's not that important.
Well, for a variety of reasons, I'm sure.
Yes, yes. So, but there's a lot of support out there, and it's a It's a neighborhood, family, working people thing. Doesn't have anything to do with union or anything else.
No.
It's time that working people start standing up and supporting each other.
Right.
We're not asking for too much.
No, we're not asking for money.
No.
We're not asking for money. We're not asking for food. We're not asking for work.
No, and
just stand up and act like the Constitution matters.
Well, yeah, and you know, we're forgiving people. I mean, really. I mean, you know, if you just said, "Oh, look, man, we got a little carried away there. Forgive us, you know.
We're sorry.
You know, here's your money back, and you know, we'll rip up these letters, and I mean, everything will be forgotten."
Sure.
But now they want to. Well, this guy, you know, I don't know if I should say that or not.
Yeah, no.
Well, things will be resolved. And if people won't stand up for the First Amendment, I don't know what they're going to do.
I don't know. Maybe, well, you know the answer to that, Wayne.
What is that, Bob?
If we told people, this is a little bit mean, that's okay, I'm being facetious, this is a joke. If we told people that they violated the nurses' First Amendment rights and tried to take guns away from them.
Oh, I'd really be.
You'd have 150,000 people.
Instantly. From several states.
Yeah, right. Charlton Heston would probably be here. You can take my gun from when you take, and you can have my gun when you take it from my old Alzheimer's ridden brain, you know.
Right.
Well, I'm doing rotten again.
Were you here when he was, did you go to that thing?
No, my stomach wasn't that strong that day.
I was, we were picketing. That's what I was doing.
Is that all you ever do?
One would think so, you know. I'm a mean guy. And, listen, I wanted to mention something to you. In emails and stuff, you know, I have argued with you about why do you spend your money to provide that message board thing to these people?
Yeah.
And I went on there today and all that, and actually I realized something, that you're a very generous man. You know, you share a lot, and, you know, what you're really doing with that is it's kind of a charity thing in providing people with a life.
In some
you know
ways.
What I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, that's real important, and I commend you for that.
But the other side of it, Wayne, I practice what I preach, man. I believe in the First Amendment. And I believe that the free exchange of ideas is not only good for America, it is essential for America. And for that reason, I put those things out there. With one possible exception, I've never censored anything that's been said. I came down on one cretin for attacking my wife one time. And that's one thing I just won't put up with. And I don't think anybody should. But apart from that, I have... Nobody's ever. It's you know, if you get into those message boards, it's a free for all, and I do it because I believe in the First Amendment. Freedom of expression is everything.
I'm glad you provide that. I don't have time. You know, I mean, and then I go there and look, and I go. I mean, these people judge me and say things about me and stuff like that. And none of them have ever mentioned me or ever met me.
Right.
So, you know, they know who I am. But I don't know who they are. I don't even know if that's their real names.
Yeah, but if they had job troubles, if their boss came out and threatened to fire them for speaking their minds, on private property, never mind who they are, you'd be there fighting for their rights.
I probably would if they had enough guts to identify themselves, but
well,
I don't think they do. So
yeah.
They want to pretend and hide, and you know, I don't have time for that. I'm going to deal with the real world, and. There's an awful lot of people on our side. And, you know, you were there for an hour or so the other day. And, I mean, do you think 7 out of 10 or better?
Oh, more than that.
Exactly.
I mean, it was a rarity somebody that didn't honk and wave and give you the thumbs up.
Honking and waving, but thumbs up. And,
yeah, thumbs up.
And, you know, give them the power, you know. And that's what has to happen. That's what we're doing. And I'd love to see a bunch of people show up tomorrow.
Yeah, and you know, certainly people being people, not once did I ever count the that year number one salute. It's a little less than savory. Never saw one of those.
Oh no, me neither. Geez, I never thought of that because I've seen a lot.
Yeah, I mean, you've probably been in other circumstances where you get two of those.
Yeah. So I, you know, like people, you know, driving by, pull over. You probably see your neighbor. You know, if you could stay for 10 minutes, fine. I bet if you come over there for 10 minutes, though, you'll stay for longer because you'll find somebody you know and have something in common to share.
Exactly. And, 10 o'clock or whatever.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm looking forward to it.
And, you know, please, God, give us some decent weather.
That's not a problem, is it?
No.
Okay.
No, I'm there in the rain.
No, but I mean, is it supposed to rain or something?
What, in the afternoon, John? Yeah, in the afternoon it's supposed to be rain.
Well, we're not afraid.
Yeah, well...
Well, yeah, from who? Those guys that could be wrong forever and they still get to keep their job?
Those guys.
I'm going to go out there and see. That's what I'm going to do.
Sounds good to me, Ray.
I told you, you know what they ought to have?
What's that?
Yesterday's weather. That ought to be the show. They probably messed that up.
Thanks, Ray. Look forward to seeing you, man.
Bye.
Let's see. Need to take a break? Okay, yeah, let's roll on. David? Hey, David, you're head on. David?
Hello, Bob.
Hey, how you doing?
Well, I'm doing just fine, but your stream is a dribble, Bob.
Well, our stream is non-existent.
You know what?
Our stream has prostate troubles.
Well, it's not trouble. It's not a problem. It's a conspiracy, Bob. It's a plot. Every time you have an on-fire, bust-out, blow-up night, the next two nights there's no stream. I'm sorry. The pointy haired boss is just, he's doing it to you. They're pulling the plug, they're not feeding the mouse, or, you know, they're not tickling the squirrel. Something's going on and you're in.
Oh, God, I never thought of it that way.
I'm serious. Every time you're on fire and every time you're just up flying around and just making history, the next night...
I'm too hot for the bandwidth, David.
You're exactly right. You're exactly right. Every night you're really cooking, oops, well, they turned the gas off.
Oh, no, I can't stand to think that might be how it is.
All right, I'm kidding. Dear Mr. Station Owner, I was only kidding about the pointy-haired boss crack. Dear sir, I think you are a fine manager, buddy.
Right.
Okay, good. I got that taken care of. Exactly. Well, no particular topic other than just, you know, to make snide comments about the stream and wish it was there.
Well, you know, I hate having it down tonight because it's not every night you get a story about a Baptist minister excommunicating people from his church for voting for John Kerry.
I know you say over and over, I don't make this stuff up.
I don't.
Are there mushrooms in your part of the world? You know, this homeless. If anything happened, then you've got to be making that.
Oh, dude, the wall is melting. No.
Oh, I can hear the light and see the sound.
Yeah, well, Waynesville, North Carolina came right off the Associated Press wire. Chan Chandler, the Reverend Chan Chandler. Excommunicated 9 people from not coming down to the altar and falling on their knees and repenting for being Democrats.
Oh, Bob, if someone had waved the wand and they would have said, all right, now, Bob, you and David, write a skit for Saturday Night Live.
Right.
We'd have had, you know, the Reverend E. Pluribus Unum throwing people out of a church for voting Democratic.
And it never would have made it to storyboarding, David. It never would have made it to storyboarding. That's too out there. That's too crazy. That's not even funny.
Exactly. There'd been a young woman in a black turtleneck smoking closed cigarettes going, no, fellas, wouldn't play. Sorry, nobody believe it.
Believe it.
They've done it. They've done it. And you know what? That's the tip of the spear. You should go to NPR and look up the story about Christian Warriors that aired tonight on All Things Considered.
Is this like the Liberty Lobby, Liberty Defense Fund, or what?
Yes.
These are the clowns that are defending that creep out in California. I don't know what, Pismo Beach, Lompoc, whatever. That was trying to cram evangelical fascism down fifth graders' throats.
It's anywhere and everywhere. Anywhere and everywhere. This one group has 700 lawyers at the ready, scattered across the United States, for a fee of $10 an hour. They will provide any person and any governmental agency, and I'm not making that up, if they have a case they're interested in, they will step in and be the legal workhorse for a governmental agency.
$10 an hour.
$10 an hour.
Why won't they do that for free?
I don't know.
They're going to get some money somewhere.
Well, it could be that that takes them out of some category if they're...
No, I'll tell you what it does. By charging some minimal fee, it allows them to get attorney's fees in return. Dirty, greedy, creepy, nasty punks.
Well, the one that I heard about was there's a dispute in the state of Oregon, which really caught my interest as I was stuck in traffic coming home, and these guys are moving in from all over the nation to fight this situation where someone, I forget even the issue, I was so blown away by it. It is the most frightening thing. And then when I found out that not only will they be involved with an individual, they will come to the aid of a government. So if by stealth, crook, whatever, they take over a school board and decide that they need to throw out something basic like evolution, three or four of these guys can move into some tiny little district and just overwhelm, bang. Oh, sorry, we're going to teach the Bible as opposed to science that's well established. Have a nice day.
Yeah, and you know, Yeah, and every one of these lawyers took an oath in order to be a lawyer, David. And it was similar to the support and defend the Constitution. Every one of these outhouse rats ought to have their law license yanked for spitting on the Constitution the way they do by trying to create a theocracy.
You and I are in complete agreement. But there is one and three more on the way, Christian-based law schools in place now.
Oh, I know, and I'd love to just be a fly on the wall in there. And then Thomas Jefferson read the Ten Commandments to the Continental Congress. We're making it up as we go along, doggone it.
Oh, yeah, and they talk about revisionist history.
Yeah. Well, let me back up to Waynesville, North Carolina, just for a minute, David. We've got to wait a second. I think you share my fundamental belief in nonviolence.
Yes.
You're in church. Some fat, doughy, pasty-faced, greasy-headed with a comb-over, southern accent, ignorant, barely educated out of the sixth grade Jethro Bodine Baptist preacher comes up and tells you that you're going to be excommunicated from that church unless you repent for voting Democrat. There's our hypothetical, Dave. Is it okay to ball your fist up, reach back somewhere into southeast Missouri and just punch him right in the face till his nose explodes? Is that okay?
It would certainly be on the short list of options, because if I were in the church of my choice, expressing my faith in God as I felt I could and should do, and was doing it in a way that I felt was in keeping with what Jesus would like to see, and that man said that to me, foisted that upon me, I experienced tunnel vision. It's not a myth. And I'm sorry, all I would see is from just below that man's chin to just above his eyebrows, surrounded by red fuzz. And I'm not 100% sure what would happen after that, but I'd be ready for it.
Well, I'll tell you what, I can't... When it happens in one... This is not a local story. This is not a North Carolina story. This is because there are preachers who think just like this all over America. And they're Baptists, and they're Roman Catholics, and they're, you know, First Church of the Holy Herpetological Sanctuary and Summertime Snake Farm.
Well, there was
and
not just your corner priest, not just the padre on the corner that's, you know, overseeing the bingo. There was a bishop that wanted Kerry run out of the church because he's not violently anti-abortion.
Right. Well, Cardinal Ratt, the new pope, was the author of that screed that said you can't be Catholic and vote for a Catholic for a president if that Catholic is John Kerry. And conveniently left out little old pro-choice Rudy Giuliani and little old pro-choice good Austrian Catholic Arnold. Left them out of that. It was only John Kerry. He's pro-choice, and you can't vote for him. You know, there is a religious poisoning of this country that is taking place, David. And a lot of us liberals are sitting there going, ha-ha, look at those loonies, here.
No, there's a few of us that don't view this as a bunch of loonies playing pranks. This is stuff down the rail that kills people. This is indeed poison, Bob. And we're here at five or six of these same types of things. And I'm not going to be surprised if it turns out to be somebody like, certainly Robinson, Pat, one of those, he'll fall in line. And the next thing you know, Shuler will be standing there in his crystal cathedral. Doing his little routine about say if any of you vote a Democrat, gosh.
Well, see, that's the beautiful thing.
It's toward the rear.
Yeah, and the thing is, there is a bill in Congress right now called the Religious Freedom Restoration Act or some such garbage as that specifically permits preachers to do what this guy did illegally.
Isn't it amazing how they can rename heinous things into something that sounds like a good idea?
No more trees, healthy forests. Mercury in the air, clear skies.
Exactly.
And oddly enough, the guy who authored that god-awful hate bill in the House is from North Carolina, just like the Reverend Chan Chandler. David, we got to roll out of here. I'm sorry about the stream, my friend.
Well, I got enough of the fix I can hold out till Monday.
All right. You have a great weekend.
Keep up the good work and enjoy yourself in the morning.
Gonna try. Later.
See you later.
Okay, news break time, followed by Jim Hightower, and then a little more of this, a little more of that. Hey, I got a beautiful story about it. Look, it's another fat, pasty-faced, Jethro Bodine Dunn graduated the sixth grade, Southern minister with a comb over. Yeah, you're going to love this one, too. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Spring is here, so that means it's time for that Toyota's Spring Sales Event. And it's easy as 1, 2, 3. Great prices, great selections, no hassles. Choose from over 200 Toyotas. Sign and drive with zero down and make no payments till fall. That's right, zero down and zero payments till fall. Brand new 2005 Toyota Corollas, Camrys, 4Runners, Highlanders, Land Cruisers, Siennas, and more. With 17 models to choose from, find out which one is right for you. Spring sales event. Sign and buy with zero down and no payments till fall. Rush to L&S Toyota. 300 Rural Acres Drive and Brickley. It's as easy as 1, 2, 3. Great prices, great selection. No hassle. Hurry, because when the spring sales event ends, so do the savings. Sign and buy with zero down and no payments till fall. Our select models for the group credit. Every screen from later purchase example will apply for over 3 or 3 from us with 60 months and 6.5% of the final offer in 5/30/05.
Any new guys out there looking for the girl next door? Because I know where you can find her. Cupid.com. It's a place to meet women that live close by. Cupid.com is an interested in compiling some big worldwide network. They're focused on putting you in touch with the cuties you pass on your way to work. People who share your same area code. Basic Cupid memberships are free with zero obligations. You can even apply to messages from your phone numbers, a service you usually pay for on other sites. You can remain anonymous and still put Cupid's auto match to work, locating women with your favorite traits and qualities. Bigger online dating sites show you a universe of women, which is perfect if you're into long-distance relationships. But Cupid.com shrinks that world to women right in your backyard, because the girl next door never lives 3 states away. Find your true love at Cupid.com, either online or one of our 4 local groups.
Cupid.com. Advertising locally on great radio stations to bring people together for love.
Good evening, this is Carl Mike, WWN on News. A federal criminal complaint has been filed against a Russian immigrant charged with smuggling cigarettes. Sergei Chernovitsky was stopped for speeding near Beckley on Tuesday
State police found 37 full cases of untaxed cigarettes. Police say Chernovinsky was taking the cigarettes to New York to sell them. A Greenbrier County woman will spend 5 years probation for embezzling thousands of dollars from State Farm Insurance. Tony Williams of Alderson pleaded guilty in March to taking the money between 1988 and 2001 from the office she worked at in Fairleigh. Williams received payments on auto insurance premiums from customers, and rather than apply those payments to their accounts, she would take the money herself or apply payments to other accounts to conceal her previous actions. She was fired 4 years ago. In addition to the probation sentence, U.S. District Judge David Favor ordered Williams to pay more than $27,000 in restitution and also spend 6 months on home confinement. Investigators think a furnace is to blame for a fire yesterday afternoon at a house in Fairdale. A furnace and heat pump were being installed when the fire started in the attic of the Pronti Hollow home. The fire burned the entire roof structure of the home, and there was also smoke and water damage. Damage is estimated at around $50,000. A retired couple who live in the house were able to escape unharmed. The Trap Hill Fire Department spent several hours on the scene, bringing the blaze under control. The state fire marshal is also investigating that blaze. All the buzz was in a Beckley neighborhood this week as a swarm of about 40,000 bees were seen swarming. The bees were first noted by workers at Tony's Meats on Market Road. A worker hit a metal cart, mimicking the sound of thunder, and the bees flew off to a nearby bush. On Wednesday, the swarm aligned on a tree next to the meat market's dumpster. Local beekeeper William Milam was able to get the swarm into a cage. He took them to their new home and crab orchard in his backyard. For the rest of this evening, cloudy with a chance of showers and thunderstorms still later tonight. Locally heavy rainfalls are still possible tonight. Temperatures in the upper 50s. And then for tomorrow, showers and thunderstorms in the morning. Then a chance of showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon. Otherwise, partly cloudy and cooler. Tomorrow's high only in the mid-60s. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
George W. loves April. Not because the cherry blossoms are in bloom, but because April 22nd is Earth Day, which means he gets to put on some khaki pants, a plaid shirt, some hiking-type boots, and then gets to ride on Air Force One to some national park where he can pose as Environmental Man all day long. But this year, Mother Nature, damn her, messed up George's day. He was fully outfitted, and he'd been flown out to the Great Smoky Mountains National Park, where a horde of TV cameras, photographers, and reporters were going to record him working with a gaggle of volunteers to help restore a trail in the park. George loves being depicted as a regular worker guy, and Carl Rove had carefully screened the volunteers so no pesky Democrats or Sierra Club kooks could interrupt his scripted moment with some nasty remark. You know, like pointing out that George had broken his promise to eliminate the $4 billion backlog on repairing our deteriorating park system, and instead has actually increased the backlog to $5 billion. It was to be a swell day, but Mother Nature, damn her again, whipped up a thunderstorm, and poor George had to give his environmental talk inside a cold, dank hangar at the airport, speaking to his own aides and some military personnel. This made him a bit grumpy in his brief talk. In the park, had I been there, I would have reminded people today is Earth Day, a day in which we recommit ourselves to being good stewards of the land. Then George flew back to Washington to continue pushing for policies allowing oil drillers, clear cutters, and strip miners to plunder our national parks and pollute our environment. But he did make one sensible suggestion while in the park. He encouraged Americans to save our environment through volunteer action. This is Jim Hightower saying, I agree. Please volunteer with your local Sierra Club or other grassroots environmental group to defeat George's corporate assault on Mother Earth.
A message from the American Library Association and Bernie Mac about the hard times facing our nation's libraries.
Hey, I'm Bernie Mac. Libraries need your help. They are forced to cut back hours, reduce services, and even close their doors. So what can you do? I'll tell you what. Support your local library and help keep your library doors open. Contact your local library to find out how how you can make a difference in your community. The future is at your library. So make sure your library has a future. Just for yourself and for the Mac Man.
Brought to you by the Campaign for America's Libraries. For more information, visit the American Library Association website at www.pla.org.
WWNR Beckley.
Amanda Jesse loves conservatives, baked, boiled, or fried. Here is Bob Kincaid of Kincaid Panama.
Yeah, head on. I am Bob Kincaid. Friday night. Halfway done. I don't necessarily enjoy doing these religion stories, but back before the campaign, and everybody thought, oh, there's Bob, he's a conspiracy theorist. When I was telling you about the Republican National Committee out there taking church directories for campaign purposes and trying to use churches for campaign headquarters locations, what did I tell you? I told you that this would split churches asunder. And that when you split a church, well, at least the way I was raised, that's a sin. But again, a Republican will do anything in his power to win above all costs. You know, it's the Al Davis approach to politics. Just win, baby. So we can bomb Iraq and kill the baby. God, it stinks. And that's what they're doing. And again, this creep in North Carolina is in the same state and maybe in the same district as the creep who's authoring this bill that will allow preachers to filthy up the body and blood of Christ Jesus with politics. And that is, again, I will not call them Christians. I know Christians. I was raised with Christians, surrounded by Christians. These aren't Christians. Not by any stretch of the imagination. Back to the phones. Ed's been waiting. Hey, Ed, you're head on. Hey, Ed. Ed?
Yes, there you are. How you doing this evening, Bob?
I'm doing good, you?
Yeah, it sounds good. You sound real good until you're laying it on them. They need it.
Well, I hate to do it sometimes, Ed.
I don't think they need exposed. Bob, that's a real one. Of course, one of the, there's not much excuse for not finding the church after you leave it. But that's exactly the reason I heard so much politics while I was in church. And as I've said before, I didn't go to church to listen to that garbage on either side.
Right.
I went to find out if I couldn't find a better way to walk and a closer walk.
Right.
But that was very discouraging. But it is so offensive to hear a dang idiot like that that you're talking about that would drive people out of the church or excommunicate them over politics. That, I mean, you know, you're talking about getting close to Hitlerism. Everything indicates if you ain't this, if you ain't that, whether it's in church or out, then you can't belong. You're not American anymore. You know, I heard it on the radio. That's anti-American. You know, killing is anti-American. Killing is anti-God, anti-Christ.
Exactly.
But, we're still doing it. But, that Bible talks about if these preachers and these so-called goody-goody boys wants to talk about the Bible. The Bible talks about the great falling away near the end, but it didn't say how it was going to happen, did it?
No, it didn't.
It just said it would. In my opinion, and of course my opinion ain't much better than nobody else's, but I think the Bible and the way things are shaping up, that it's going to be backed, and the preachers are one of the main contributors of it, because if people don't follow them instead of God, then we're just doomed. And the Republicans seem to have a monopoly on using every deceivable angle there is to get them to vote for Republicans. But I'm just so against what you all said, and I couldn't believe you were saying that, and then here comes the news, and they vouch for it. So it's just very disturbing to hear that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So, but I want to go further than that, and lay it on their hind end.
Okay.
You know, keep all in. Don't they need exposed for what they are? And but I wanted to call in. I heard a conversation. Of course, I was on my way to the informational picket line over there today, or defending the nurses. And I heard them come on the air again. Some guys, his son was worked for the VA, and he was a veteran. He went a long time. He was under the same plan I was, the Korean plan, except he happened to be disabled under it. But he was talking about how Bush had prospered the veterans. Let me tell him something. Yesterday I went in, my glasses, it was free up to yesterday, went in, I paid $67 on them. And I want to remind him of something else, and this, the facts don't lie. When under Clinton, our prescriptions was $2, they moved to $7, and possibly going to move to 15.
That's right.
I had a heart operation. Didn't cost me a dime, and very thankful for. And I went down here under the Bush administration and had to pay $840 on a $3,000 bill. Now, that's the difference, and, you know, there ain't no arguing about that. These, I've got the bills to show for it.
That's
this guy's still defending George Bush and his policy toward the veterans. And
well,
he's got another knucklehead that wouldn't know the right end of a rifle that comes on there, either one of them, on another program. And they get on there yapping on the veterans, and this plan wasn't meant to be extended in. Ever since I've been using the VA back in 84, and I don't know how far back it goes beyond that, this plan has been intact, and we're not getting paid for active duty. This plan was set up to show appreciation for the veterans that was willing to serve and willing to die if necessary. And they holler about, well, if they're making so much. This thing was never predicated on how much you made. It was there for the veterans to use as they needed it.
They are benefits that are accorded by a grateful nation, Ed, and that's all they should be.
That's exactly right, Bob. And
but you see,
I want to go a step further.
That's all right, but wait, I know I'm going to get accused because this is how things work. Somebody's going to say, well, see, there's that Bob. He dragged some old veteran out that couldn't get his glasses.
No, that's not true.
And
if I wanted to buy them, Bob, I could buy them outright. But like I said, that program was set up for the ones that served, and they're forgetting one thing. We make $87 a month. That's a big deal, ain't it?
Yeah.
That is really a great price. And we served 4 years making that. And I think that any veteran that was in there that went through the kind of stuff we did, they ought to have a kickback somewhere, if you want to classify it as a kickback.
I'll tell you what.
To repay. Somebody saw justice and performed it for the veterans. And then it is so stinking repulsive, I can't even talk about it, because these cowardly little rascals that get on there that could blow up an onion sack, and then one of the mildly ones, Chamber of Commerce special, runs one of the shows, he gets on there and he knows it all. He's anti-work, he's anti-labor and right to work and all this stuff. Those people are just people that love to take away from the other guy. Why do they care what the other guy makes as long as they're making it?
Because they want it.
All that, and it's the prestige and the power and looking down their nose at somebody. But isn't that typical Chamber of Commerce?
Well, there are some people out there, Ed, who have so little self-esteem and so little reason to have any regard for themselves, that they have to look down on other people in order to find a reason to stay alive.
And you know what they're called? Republicans.
Bingo.
So, you know, it's just sickening to hear stuff like that. And then, to beat it all, they keep people pressed and pressed down, like when Wayne calls in one of the stations there, he's either out-talked, out-shouted, or hung up on. And it's not really a conversation. It's a dictatorship, even on his show. And that just stinks in my book. And
yeah, but I'm a screamer, Ed. You got to remember, I'm a screamer.
Yeah, oh, I know it. But, you know, lay it on the hind end. They need it. And, you know, you're exactly on target. And, you know, you sound just like them. I thought when I first turned you on, I said, well, here's one of them dang preachers that's got his head in his rear end. So you're doing good.
Oh, I missed out on a real career, Ed.
Well, remind them again. You Republicans call in there and let Bob tell you what kind of head you got on your shoulders, y'all. Bob, I'll talk to you later.
Take it easy, Ed. You have a good weekend.
You too.
All right. He's right about the, well, I mean, yeah, look, beyond the doubling of prescription, George W. Bush supports the troops. That's why the VA prescription benefit's going to double, the copay is going to double to $15. That's why there's going to be a VA enrollment fee under the proposed Bush budget of $255. Thanks from a grateful nation. Pay up. But I lost my job while I was serving in the guard and it went pay up. Then it may pay up, too bad. Now this is a quote from the Veterans of Foreign Wars of the United States about the fiscal 2006 budget that was released on February 7th, 2005. The president has delivered a disappointing funding request for the Department of Veterans Affairs. Period. Claimed increase of $880 million for VA health care funding is really only about $100 million once you subtract those amounts that would be shouldered by military veterans. That's, you know, it is what it is. Bruce, you head on.
Hi. Bob, I've listened to you off and on, and only when I'm driving my car, you know, and leaving. And I think I'm probably as liberal as you, maybe even more so, I don't know, but I don't know where your anger comes from so much. I think that when you make fun of people and make fun of Republicans, I think I forget what term you use on
your Republican.
Yeah, I just, you know, I don't appreciate that, and I think that's the mean. And I just wonder where your anger comes from.
Thanks a lot. No. This is a conversation show. Stick around, please.
No, I'm not.
Okay.
I don't mean you're going to cut me off.
No.
And I've known Steve O'Brien all my life, too. You know,
I understand. Well, I mean, where my anger comes from? My anger comes from them. My God, I'm watching them destroy my nation. And I'm watching our side sit idly by and let them do it. If you don't get mad, what have you got? I guess I'm kind of stultified by this. What do you do? Do you just sit back and let them do it?
No, but I don't think making fun of people, you know, supports liberal cause.
What can you say?
And I think that you do that.
What
you do it a lot.
Well, I think they're funny. I've said 1,000 times, if these people weren't so dangerous, they would be a comedy act. It's almost impossible not to laugh.
Yeah, but you talk down, and you know you do mean things, in my opinion.
Well, I mean, help me out here. I mean, what mean?
Yeah.
I mean, I think for me, Bruce, mean is when you stand in the well of the Senate or on the floor of the House of Representatives and declare that a few more judges need to be bumped off to teach them to quit being activists. To me, that's mean. Now, what I am going to do, and it's just, I guess, part of my upbringing, I kind of came to it myself, I'm going to meet force with force. Because that's the way these people operate. They're bullies, Bruce, and
I don't think you're meeting, when you're saying you're meeting force with force, I think you're speaking to that same level. And, you know, probably you and I and Dr. Bill O'Brien would have very similar political beliefs.
Okay.
But, you know, I would much rather listen to Bill and talk to Bill than I would you. And not that I disagree with what you say, it's the way you say it.
Well, I'm really between a rock and a hard place, Scylla and Charybdis on this one, because
and maybe it's for ratings.
Listen, I'm nothing but pure honesty here. If I say it, I mean it. You know?
I'm fairly blunt fellow myself.
I'm just kind of at a loss here. I believe that a legitimate response is satire and parody. And okay. I try to use that, and I think I use it fairly effectively.
Okay, well, I'll differ with you, but that's okay.
And frankly, you know, there are characters that I draw with a broad brush because they come from life. I have met these people. They are caricatures, but I have met people like this freak preacher in North Carolina.
Well, how would you know him? And I don't know. He's insane. Right? How do you know what his name is?
Bruce, how would you respond? Yeah, we do know what his name is. His name's Chan Chandler.
Okay. But, like, you know, hardly anything else about him.
No, I know that he excommunicated.
You've made fun of him.
He excommunicated 9 people for voting for Democrats. What are you going to do with a guy like that?
You've made fun of him. I think it's wrong.
He deserves to be made fun of. He deserves to be ridiculed. Thank you, Bruce. Take care. Doggone it. Again, this is about putting a little starch in our party. We had a chance in the November elections to present a clear alternative to George Bush. We didn't do it. We had a chance in the midterm elections in 2002 to present a clear alternative to George Bush. We didn't do it. The Swifties came out and ridiculed and hammered and called un-American and derided John Kerry. And for 30 days it went on, and John Kerry did nothing. The Democratic National Convention was held, and they said, we're not going to say anything ugly about those sweet, darling Republicans. And so we didn't. And the Republicans had their convention, and they got Arnold Schwarzenegger out there to call us girly men. And the Swifties came out to tell us that John Kerry's Purple Heart was no good, even though he's walking around to this day with shrapnel on his backside. And Zell Miller stood up and spat at John Kerry and tried to challenge Chris Matthews to a duel. And my side sat back and said, Kumbayamid, Kumbayam. And we got our butts handed to us. I'm nonviolent. I'm, to a large extent, pacifist. But you know what? I'm tired to death of seeing my country run straight down the road to perdition by a bunch of people who don't care about anything but themselves and the money that they themselves can control. And maybe telling us how to worship, or who to worship, or what to worship, and telling women what they can do with their own bodies. You know, there were Pastor Martin Niemöller, when they came for the socialists, I said nothing. When they came for the trade unionists, I said nothing. When they came for the Catholics, I said nothing. When they came for the Jews, I said nothing. When they came for me, there was no one to say anything because everyone was already gone. How nice do I have to be?
Harmful drug interactions increases with age. Call 1-800-662-HELP for a free brochure, As You Age, A Guide to Aging, Medicines, and Alcohol. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and this station.
News Talk 620 WWNR. Keeping you informed with Southern West Virginia's most accurate and dependable forecast. Here's your forecast from the Weather Channel. We'll continue under a flood watch as a large area of thunderstorms heads our way very slowly over the next 12 hours. Bring it down to 57 with some heavy rumblers through tonight. As we look at Friday's forecast, showers will be early, becoming less numerous throughout the day, with 1 or 2 chance of morning rain, high 64. But for a drier Saturday, 69. Thank you.
Welcome back. We're back. I'm Bob.
This is Head On. And I'm going right back to the phones in just a second. 252-6200 is the number. Outside Beckley, it's 800-620-9967, though with a stream down, that doesn't really count for much. Let's say you're coming home from Sunday night go-to-meeting services. And you've left the porch light on. And you stand there, and, you know, Daddy fumbles with the keys and gets it in the lock, and your darling wife is standing beside you, and your two precious daughters and your two loving sons are standing there. And you open the door, flip on the light, and lo and behold, there stands a burglar. And he's got his black clothes on, his black shirt, his black pants, and his black socks, and his black shoes, and his black little mask, and his little toboggan. And he's standing there with a big bag of all your stuff. You got your guns and your Xbox and your PlayStation 2.5.7589321. He's got your DVD recorder and your TiVo. He's got a couple of credit cards, so he's got your identity, too. Now, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Are you going to turn around to your lovely family and say, "Let us all fall on our knees now and pray. Dear Jesus, please don't let this burglar steal all our stuff. Touch his heart, Lord God, and make him see the error of his ways as he makes up off with all the stuff that I've worked so hard to bring on our family. Please, Jesus, turn his heart and let him learn the love that you bear for us all. Amen." And the burglar, meanwhile, has tiptoed past you in his office 2 miles down the road. Or, when you see this, are you going to run in the door, tell your wife and kids to get in the car and go for the police, run in the door and attack the dirty, rotten, thieving outhouse rat with every ounce of energy and fierce love in your being? And are you going to beat that burglar into submission and protect your family? Or are you going to reach out a loving, welcoming, loyal, and hearty handshake and say, "Mr. Burglar, let's shake hands. Would you care to sing a hymn?" For my part, I'm nonviolent. But at that point in time, a husband and a father thinks little for his own well-being and protects his family and attacks that invader of the house, that person who is trying to ruin your world. You attack him, you subdue him, and you make sure he can never do it again. Democrats, there's a burglar in our house. What are you going to do? I told you about the report that was uncovered in Britain last week. Here's a quote, secret and strictly personal, by the way, 8 months before Bush sent us into Iraq. "Military action was now seen as inevitable." This is a quote. "Military action was now seen as inevitable. Bush wanted to remove Saddam through military action justified by the conjunction of terrorism and WMD. But the intelligence and facts..." Listen, what the intelligence and facts were being fixed around the policy. The intelligence and facts were being fixed. The intelligence and facts, you can't fix facts. All you can do is deal with them. When you're fixing facts, you're lying. The intelligence and facts were being fixed. We're up to $300 billion now because the intelligence and facts were being fixed. There's another report I've got in my stack right now, right here. We found another $100 million in cash that we can't account for. It's gone. It just disappeared in the blowing sands of George Bush's Iraq. So I don't know. This is the only way I know how to deal with these things. Among us Democrats, we can sit around, we can giggle, we can play, we can sing Kumbaya. But when it comes to thugs like this preacher in North Carolina, when it comes to a thug like George Bush, you have got to actively oppose them. That is why you are given the franchise. That is why you're able to vote. That is why you're able to get out and speak your piece and partake of the glories of the First Amendment and the Constitution of the United States of America. Because, you see, we've done a really good job at being quiet through two presidential election cycles now. And quiet has bought us more than 1,500 dead Americans. Quiet and reasoned discourse has bought us 20,000 maimed Americans, some of whom are still waiting, still waiting, still waiting, still waiting for the services from the Veterans Administration that we promised them when they left. Quiet has bought us a bunch of religion industry fiends that think that now is the time to tell you and me and everyone else how they can believe, and what they can believe, and when they can believe. This is a poison upon the body politic of America. There is a man, I can't remember his name. Well, never mind, I'm not going to go there. It just makes everybody all upset. Let's do a quick commercial break, come back, and to the phones, I promise. I had to make that clear. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Get ready and get off. You can make a difference for those who suffer from arthritis. Join Colony Drug, the Arthritis Foundation, and Southern Communications for Beckley's second arthritis walk. Thursday, on the Princeton Circle Road. It's not too late to come see this could be bad. For details, call Colony Drug and roll ahead. And help us get the difference from the life you have. This Thursday, remember Colony.
You can even reply to messages from your neighbors, a service you usually pay for on other sites. You can remain anonymous and still put Cupid's auto match to work, locating women with your favorite traits and qualities. Bigger online dating sites show you a universe of women, which is perfect if you're into long-distance relationships. But Cupid.com shrinks that world to women right in your backyard, because the girl next door never lives three states away. Find your true love at Cupid.com, either online or one of our four local hosts.
Cupid.com. Advertising locally on great radio stations to bring people together for love.
Where there's a tornado,
where there's a forest fire,
where Mother Nature is at her worst,
where there's a search,
where there's a rescue,
where there are Americans in need,
where disaster strikes
or one volunteer force,
helping each other and simply doing what needs to be done,
we are the Civil Air Patrol,
the official auxiliary of the U.S. Air Force.
To join, call 1-800-FLY-2338
or log on to the World Wide Web at www.cap.gov.
WWNR Beckley.
At the heart of a conservative, pickled on a jar on his desk. Here's Bob Kincaid.
Did you hear that, Mavis? They're running them commercials for that commie United Nations wanting to keep people from dying with the AIDS. Commies.
Let's go to the phones. Christina has waited ever so patiently. Thank you, Christina.
Hi, Bob.
How are you?
First of all, I don't think you're angry. I think you're very passionate. I think it's fervent. I don't think it's anger. Being all over the airways. Then I think that passion and compassion comes because you're an honest person.
Mm-hmm.
Believes whatever you're espousing, you believe it. You live it. So I don't see how a person could see that you're insulting anybody or any institution, because that's just what you are. You're just an honest person, and I respect it.
Well, thank you.
I mean, you take an awful lot of garbage off a lot of people, and you always maintain your composure, which is a whole lot more than I could do. But I honestly feel in my heart that you believe in these causes.
I do.
And your passion is just obvious that you believe, because you believe this, you might get angry, or you might, but I don't think you're just a naturally angry person. You're not angry. You're just informing the public. This is some very serious issues, a very emotionally charged issues, especially the stupid war. And what kind of a person would you be if you weren't passionate? And so you're going to get angry sometimes. So do I. But it's better than being complacent and everybody walks all over the United States.
Well, thank you, Christina. I do appreciate that.
Well, it's true. I get angry. I can't understand. Nobody insults any group of people more than Limbaugh does.
Oh.
He's so ungodly rude to almost everybody that doesn't agree with him.
I'm so glad you mentioned his name, Christina. I have had the misfortune, you know, my radio station dial never turns away from this station in the car. Most of the time, I just turn him off. I had the misfortune of he piqued my interest. I heard him making fun of a little black child who was trying to get out of third grade.
I heard that. Was that today?
Yes.
I did hear that. It hurt. I know exactly how you feel. That was horrible.
You know, because the liberals like stupid people.
Uh-huh.
And
that is not that's what I felt so sorry for that poor little boy. It's awful. I mean, I just don't understand how people can be so inhuman to somebody else and so sadistic. You know?
Well, I talk about...
He makes fun of a lot of minorities, to tell you the truth.
Oh, yeah, well, I mean, I well remember the time that he told a black man to call him back when he got the bone out of his nose.
Can you believe that?
And he's still in the air, you know.
Yeah.
There's a lot of prejudiced people that
agree, and that's why they pay
his
salary.
Well, sure. Anybody who thinks that this is not still a prejudiced, bigoted nation,
absolutely,
is living in a dream world.
We are living in a very, very, very divided nation now. Everybody's, you know, it's on edge. Everybody's on edge, and nobody. I don't think too many people are going to stay complacent. It's getting terrible, and I don't think there's been this much strife in the United States except for the Civil War. I'm serious. The morale sucks. I mean,
You're absolutely
as eloquently as you do, but
you're absolutely right. I'm not going to be the guy that brings us together. I know that.
Well, you got a lot of us thinking.
I can't bring us together with a Republican because. I can't reach out to them because every time you reach out to one, they're standing there ready to lop your hand off.
Yeah. Not really receptive.
No, they're not. They're only receptive to compromise if we're the side that's doing all the compromises.
Right. Right. If we get stomped on, everything's cool.
Right. The only Democrats that they like, I mean, do you...
Yeah, I know who they like.
Well, I mean, we
Ron Miller and Joe Manchin.
Well, and there's one more because it's in the forefront of our consciousness. We remember the kissy face episode with Prince Abdullah.
Mm-hmm.
In Crawford a week or so ago, but we forget that at his State of the Union, George Bush climbed down from the podium and gave a big wet sloppy to Joe Lieberman.
Oh, I wasn't aware of it.
Oh, it was. I wanted to, if I'd been in the house that night, I would have screamed red a room. And that's the kind of Democrats they like, because Lieberman, you know, people like Lieberman will compromise their principles, they will compromise their morals, they will compromise their ethics, anything as long as the Republicans say, we like you, Joe, we think you've got Joe Lieberman. Why is that guy not a Republican?
To maintain the status quo, a lot of people will settle for a lot less, as long as everything's going their way, but if they keep taking benefits and things away from people... You're going to see things, not you, but I was alive during the Kent State riots and the Vietnam riots, and that would be my age group. Because when I was in high school, these Vietnam vets who had been drafted, the average age, I think, was 18, were coming home in boxes.
Yeah.
And arms and legs blown and all this kind of stuff. So, you know, people are getting real tired of being stepped on in middle class. We're getting real tired of it.
Right, but I guess... And I'm not making fun of anybody here. I just can't...
I think you do make fun. I swear I don't. But I don't want to hold you up too long.
No, that's okay.
I don't want you to change yourself, your format, your show, your program, anything. It takes an awful lot of courage and testimonial fortitude in the Bible Belt to speak up. And we need to hear this.
Well, if
nobody else is going to have the fortitude or the conscience or anything to tell us all this, because I'm not aware of a lot of things. I don't have my TV running right now for a very good reason. So I listen to a lot of talk shows, and I listen to the news on the radio. But you inform the public very well, and so. But I just think a lot of people don't appreciate your sense of humor either, because you've got a brilliant sense of humor and your brilliant at timing. A lot of people can tell something. I mean, you just got that sense of humor intertwined, and you time everything perfectly. And I think it's hilarious and informative. So keep on doing what you're doing. I appreciate it. And may I please be the first one to wish your wife a very happy Mother's Day, and all the other ladies out there, I hope they have a very happy and blessed Mother's Day.
Well, Christine, thank you. I will convey your best wishes, and thank you for making sure she's
lucky to have it.
I'm lucky to have
her. And I like the way you talk so nicely, and you respect her so well. I really do. I appreciate that in you.
I love the pieces, and God only knows we just passed our 12th anniversary, Christine, and it's a miracle, you know.
And take care.
All right, thank you,
Christine. We appreciate it.
Thank you, and a great weekend to you. I got to admit, I'm kind of, and I appreciate the vote of confidence from Christine, and I think it's probably echoed in other places as well. I'm not kidding. I'm not going to be the guy who reaches across. I can't be the guy who reaches across, because I saw the burglar in the house. Yeah, there was. I remember once watching some guy talking about being a trial lawyer and how you've got to learn never to ask, know when to stop asking questions or you'll get burnt. And the example that was used was a guy who had been robbed. He was a hotel desk clerk. And the smarty pants lawyer or something. And so he held the gun on you for how long, sir? Well, as long as it took me to get the money out. Would you say that was a minute? Oh, probably less than a minute. So the man held the gun on you for less than a minute. Is that correct, sir? Yes, that's correct. Would you say it took him 15 seconds for you to get the money out? Well, okay, it probably didn't. And most of the time, sir, you were looking down, getting the money into the bag. Is that correct? Well, that's correct. So it's safe to say, sir, that you, would you say that you probably didn't get a look at your assailant for more than a second. Isn't that correct, sir? Yeah. Then, sir, please tell me how you can sit here and identify my client as your assailant when you just admitted to this jury that you saw him for less than 1 second. And the guy comes back and he said, he had a gun in my face. I will never forget that face for so long as I live. And there he sits. I cannot be the guy who reaches out to the other side, because I have seen the gun in the face of America for lo these five long years. I have watched in abject horror as the Republican Party has attacked everything of any value in this country. Medicaid, a Medicare boondoggle, the war in Iraq, hear it again, military action was now seen as inevitable. This is a British government document. Military action was now seen as inevitable. Bush wanted to remove Saddam through military action, justified by the conjunction of terrorism and WMD. But the intelligence and facts were being fixed around the policy, being fixed. How about another little taste? Quote, Bush had made up his mind to take military action, but the case was thin. Saddam was not threatening his neighbors, and his WMD capability was less than that of Libya, North Korea, or Iran. Now, this is what Bush said. This is a quote not from that secret document, but from Bush himself.
Intelligence gathered by this and other governments leaves no doubt that the Iraq regime continues to possess and conceal some of the most lethal weapons ever devised.
Back up. Bush had made up his mind to take military action, but the case was thin. I cannot be the guy who reaches out to those people who are willing to lie to get into wars, who are willing to lie 1,500 precious young Americans into the grave, who are willing to lie 20,000 Americans into a wrecked and shell-shocked life, who are willing to lie 100,000 innocent, non-combatant Iraqi women and children into the grave. I cannot, I will not reach out to them. What I can do is help us decent people, us Democrats, have a little bit of starch and a little bit of spine and a little bit of gumption and a little bit of fight back. And I can tell you when I see the stump liquor bench coming from a mile away, reeling and frothing like a rabid dog on a moonlit night. And I can say, there they are, and when they get here, they are going to hit you in the face and see what you do about it. And if you sing, they're going to hit you again. And then they're going to kidney punch you and rabbit punch you. And once you're on the ground, they're going to stomp you with their boots. And then they're going to ask you how you like it. And if you say, just fine, they'll kick you once more just for good measure. That's my job. That's my job. All I'm doing is trying to pull the mask off, the curtain away from the wizard, and show you what's going on. I don't give a tinker's damn what a Republican thinks about this show. This isn't a show for Republicans. This couldn't be a show for Republicans because I'm not willing to lie all the time. Let's take a bottom of the hour break. Your phone calls, if you're on hold, please stick around. We'll get to you in the final half hour of the program. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Today I'm pleased to announce that I have nominated an outstanding military officer, Admiral Ed Giambastiani.
WWNR News, a federal criminal complaint has been filed against a Russian immigrant charged with smuggling cigarettes. Sergei Chernivinsky was stopped for speeding near Beckley on Tuesday. State police found 37 full cases of untaxed cigarettes. Police say Chernivinsky was taking the cigarettes to New York to sell them. A Greenbrier County woman will spend 5 years probation for embezzling thousands of dollars from State Farm Insurance. Tony Williams of Alderson pleaded guilty in March to taking the money between 1988 and 2001 from the office she worked at in Fairleigh. Williams received payments on auto insurance premiums from customers, and rather than apply those payments to their accounts, she would take the money herself or apply payments to other accounts to conceal her previous actions. She was fired 4 years ago. In addition to the probation sentence, U.S. District Judge David Faber ordered Williams to pay more than $27,000 in restitution and also spend 6 months on home confinement. Investigators think a furnace is to blame for a fire yesterday afternoon at a house in Fairdale. A furnace and heat pump were being installed when the fire started in the attic of the Brunty Hollow home. The fire burned the entire roof structure of the home, and there was also smoke and water damage. Damage is estimated at around $50,000. A retired couple who live in the house were able to escape unharmed. The Trap Hill Fire Department spent several hours on the scene, bringing the blaze under control. The state fire marshal is also investigating that blaze. All the buzz was in a Beckley neighborhood this week as a swarm of about 40,000 bees were seen swarming. The bees were first noted by workers at Tony's Meats on Market Road. A worker hit a metal cart, mimicking the sound of thunder, and the bees flew off to a nearby bush. On Wednesday, the swarm aligned on a tree next to the meat market's dumpster. Local beekeeper William Milam was able to get the swarm into a cage. He took them to their new home and crab orchard in his backyard.
For the rest of this evening, cloudy with a chance of showers and thunderstorms still later tonight. Locally heavy rainfalls are still possible tonight. Temperatures in the upper 50s. And then for tomorrow, showers and thunderstorms in the morning. Then a chance of showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon. Otherwise, partly cloudy and cooler. Tomorrow's high only in the mid-60s. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
Severity of car pedestrian accidents. We'll have more next time right here on America on the Road from CBS Westwood One.
WWNR Beckley.
Our most abundant energy source is coal. We have enough coal to last for 250 years. Yet coal also prevents an environmental challenge.
Oh my God. Coal does prevent an environmental challenge. I was reading about that in the paper today. There's an environmental challenge going on in the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals in Richmond. The most conservative, and this is no hallmark of pride, the most conservative single circuit court of appeals in the United States. And coal is there to prevent an environmental challenge. To make sure that big coal gets to keep burying streams and, you know, killing the life on the planet. Oh, sweet coal. Let's go to the phones. Cherie is with us. Hey, Cherie, you're head on.
Good evening, Bob. How are you?
I'm pretty good. You?
I'm sorry. I'm a little sick, but I just wanted to give you a call. I haven't been able to get your stream this evening.
No, it's deader than a stump.
Well, evidently you must have stirred someone's pot. But I wanted to give you a quote. Once more into the breach, dear friends, once more, or close the wall up with our English dead. In peace, there's nothing so becomes a man as modest stillness and humility. But when the blast of war blows in our ears, then imitate the action of the tiger, stiffen the sinews, and summon up the blood. It comes from King Henry.
Henry V. And, that's all in the world I'm trying to get Democrats to do, Cherie.
But, Bob, I don't think it's just Democrats. I think there are Republicans that feel the same way. I don't think that it's all one party. I think that the idea, that certain factions would like us to think, you know, divide and conquer.
There is that element, and I freely acknowledge it. There are people out there that call themselves Democrats that have no business calling themselves that.
Exactly. Wolves in sheep's clothing.
And on the Republican side of things, Cherie, there used to be this rare critter called Republicanus liberalensis. That translates as liberal Republican.
Right.
They have either been killed or run out of the party. Or just gagged and muzzled.
Maybe just hiding. But, you know, you got to be the little guy. You got to not let them see you coming.
But, well, yeah, Mingo the Indian, laying in the weeds.
You know what? There are men like you. There are men like Wayne who stand out and stand for something. No matter what's said, no matter what's done, you're there.
No, I'm not fit to carry Wayne's boots.
You're both extremely intelligent men, and the thing of it is that people need to back you up. You can't stand alone. And, you know, I would rather be hung for a wolf than as a sheep, just like these nurses at Bar-H. You know, I'm sorry. Get out there and stand up for your rights, because it's not going to get any better. And if they know they can drag you down now, then they will drag you down farther.
Yeah, well, you know, after you've been kicked a few times, you get used to the kicking, don't you?
Well, no, because I usually bite back. I don't like to be kicked.
I understand that.
And the thing of it is I understand supporting your family. And I understand job stability. But I also understand that once your rights, once your very essence is taken away from you, when you're trained and you go to school, yes, you do work long hours. The medical field is a very hard field.
Sure.
And, you know, there's a lot of good doctors and a lot of good nurses. I don't have a whole lot for the suits.
No.
Suits are 9 to 5. They come in, and as long as the numbers look good for them, that's all that matters. But, you know, they get sick, too.
Yeah.
And I think they better consider exactly what they're doing, because when you have quite a few patients and you've worked long hours, you become foggy. You're tired. You're worn out. And, you know, there's a burnout rate among nurses and doctors that's phenomenal.
Oh, yeah.
And
without a doubt.
So is it that we just don't care, that we're, you know, apathetic to it and we just walk on by? Or do we stand up and try to make something for our community? Because these are our hospitals. These are our people who are taking care of us in emergencies.
Our neighbors.
And they are our neighbors. And if we let it all go by and we let these people win, then you know what? Then we're getting exactly what we deserve. Quit griping about it. Don't say, well, I don't get good health care. If you want good health care, then stand up for it.
And fight for it.
Exactly. I am so sick of these people laying down like beaten down pups. I mean, get some backbone in you and get out there and do something about it. Let them know you're dissatisfied. You're paying for it, and so is your insurance companies. God knows I've heard caller after caller call in and tell you how, you know, they believe in all the laws that were being passed through legislature, and they were, you know, backing up these insurance bills and things. Okay, well, you're paying the premiums, so go fight for what you're paying for. Because these hospitals are getting real premiums.
You know, that makes perfect sense to me. But for the life of me, there are people out there, Cherie, to whom you just spoke Chinese, because they don't get it.
Well, you know, Google it and get a translator. sorry.
Well, no, you've mentioned the nursing profession, and so can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Okay, this is with regard to no particular hospital, okay?
All right.
You're the RN on the floor.
Right.
And you're in charge of 13 patients on that floor.
Which is easy to say.
Sometimes 8,
sometimes 13, sometimes more. Depends on who calls in.
No, but there's 13. There's 13 on the floor. You're the RN in charge for, what, 16 hours?
Right.
What happens if one of those people codes? What happens to the other 12?
Well, they're screwed for that time frame.
Forgive me, Cherie, if I say that's a little bit of a cavalier answer on your part.
What? You know, you want cavalier? Cavalier is when you're running around and you're trying to save somebody when somebody is ringing the bell for the bedpan. And no, I'm not being cavalier in the least, because I've not only been the nurse, but I've also been the patient.
Fair enough. I mean, I'm not being mean to you.
No. I'm just telling you. I know it's not a cavalier attitude. It's a fact. And the fact of it is when you work long hours. I mean, okay, think about your college days when you were up studying for midterms and mm-hmm. you're cramming. You know, and you get there, and all of a sudden your mind is blank.
Oh, I never crammed. I was in every class and knew everything before the end. I never even had to study. No,
well, good for you. Good for you.
Well, see, I'm not being honest.
But when you work long hours, especially when you're working not only mentally but physically, and someone's life is at stake, one mess up on your part can cause someone to die.
Yeah. And
one thing. So you have to focus.
And the suits will hang you out to dry for that, right?
Oh, the suits will hang you, without a doubt. I'll tell you this much, okay? At one point, I worked for a hospital, and this was early in my nursing career. that I had reported to my, I had a young man come in who had an appendectomy. And I went and reported to my supervisor 6 times that he had been complaining of chest pain. The man had a massive coronary and died. And there were some things said, and I won't go into that. But anyway, I told his wife what happened. And I refused to change my report. And I was dismissed. And I was blackballed.
Beautiful.
So I do understand what it is to lose a job, but would I have been right? And yeah, you can call me a whistleblower or a narc or whatever, but that man had 3 children and a wife, and had he been attended to, I believe, and what the doctor said, he believed, finally, that yes, there was a possibility that the man would have lived. So...
But universal health care would be communism, right?
Oh, well, you know, you need not even get me started on that.
I know.
It's the kind of thing that, you know, everybody has their own beliefs on health care. I've been in the field, I've worked in the field, and I've worked at different areas of the field. I'm not an expert, but, you know, I've seen lots of people who were supposedly experts that I wouldn't pee on to put out a fire. But then I've seen dedicated doctors who are wonderful doctors who do a good job. And
there are a lot of nurses out there that keep doctors fat out of the fire, don't they?
I think it goes a little of both ways. If you have a diligent physician, there is no more, as being a nurse, there's no more joy to work with. But then I've had doctors who were rude, who would walk in and tell patients, you know, well, you got a brain tumor, you're going to die in 6 months, and here you go. And then they leave you to clean up the mess.
Yeah, and then there's that special subset of doctors who can't put a Band-Aid on without killing someone.
They're there.
Yes, they are.
They're the goat doctors.
Goat doctors.
Yes.
God. Cherie... Bless your heart. You sound like you're just miserable, but I sure do appreciate you taking time to call in.
Well, I just wanted to let you know that there are people backing you up, and some of the doctors that I'm acquainted with have started listening to your show, and they think that you're great.
Well, God bless them.
You know, so I want you to know that you do actually have a medical following.
Good.
So you guys keep up the work, and... shout out to Wayne and his, and we love you guys.
Thanks a lot, Cherie.
All right.
You
bye-bye.
Take care. Do something for that throat, will you?
Yeah.
Later.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Let's see. Jim is with us. Hey, Jim, you're head on.
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm all right.
You know, I always enjoy Cherie. She really brings a lot to the table.
She does. I'm lucky. I got a lot of great callers.
I mean, you know, I can appreciate the position she's been in. I've seen things like this happen. And, you know, she's 100% correct. And, you know, a lot of times I think people are like, you know, she was, I think, if I'm not mistaken, encouraged to change her report on something.
Yeah, that's what she said.
But she didn't do that.
Nope.
She did what was right. And there's a special reward for people like her. Really is.
I hope so. I mean, that's kind of the way I live my life. And
You know, like I say, my friend, you know, you may rant and rave sometimes, but I keep telling you, Iskra, so the sparks will come the flame.
I'm waiting for the marshmallow roast, Jim.
I don't know about that, but, you know. By the way, I just want to tell you one thing.
Sure.
On a lighter note, okay?
Okay.
Do you like White Castle hamburgers?
Crawl across ground glass for them, Jim. I'd crawl across ground glass for them.
Well, listen, there's a movie out that I think you ought to see.
Okay.
Al and Kumar go to White Castle.
I've heard about it. I haven't seen it. Are you giving me a recommendation here?
Well, yeah, I think so.
Okay.
I think so.
Well, I trust your judgment, especially where comedy is concerned, Jim.
Well, I'll tell you, when you listen to the trailers and some of the other elements of the DVD,
mm-hmm.
well, your wife will probably get a baseball bat after you. I don't know. She's in there,
yeah.
Oh, okay. But anyway, just on a lighter note, I just finished watching this crazy thing, and I said, I don't believe that I'm sitting here watching this, but I was absolutely splitting my sides.
I need one of those from time to time.
Well, you know, laughter, sometimes, you know, and laughter, sources of laughter come from many, many sources, many, many elements. And there's one thing that I can't take in life, and that's what I call a prude, you know?
Oh, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
And so this is one movie that's just absolutely, not almost, but completely does.
Well,
I have to start from what I said about Cherie. She is really one of the best callers. Not one of the best, but, I mean, Wayne, wonderful. Some of the others are great, too. But, I mean, she has a kind heart.
It sounds to me, yeah. And, hey, anybody who can open up a phone call with "Once More Unto the Breach, Dear Friends" from Henry V gets my vote.
Well, absolutely. And so, you know, I wanted to add that to you, Phil. And if you have a chance to see that movie, look at it.
I will try to find time this weekend to see that.
That's just crazy as hell. But anyway, listen, my compliments to Cherie, and he has my greatest respect, and I don't really give that to a lot of people.
No, you don't throw it around, Jim, and I think people know.
As a matter of fact, I think you know I can be pretty aesthetic at times.
Well, yeah, and I think, yeah, if you do throw it around, it sort of cheapens it. So I think everybody knows that you're sincere when you do.
Well, I try to be. I'm not a cruel person.
I'm not a mean person.
But I just call things like I see them. And when I hear somebody like this lady get on the radio and describe things in her life, in her professional life, and particularly working under code blues and situations in hospitals, it's just, I mean, everything can be just fine, and all of a sudden, whammo.
Yeah, everything goes to caca in a matter of a second.
And there you are, and you have to make split decisions.
I couldn't do what they do, Jim. Honest to God, I could not do what they do.
Medicine, listen, I've got a couple of doctors in my family, and, you know, I forget, my grandfather told me, he said, you know, medicine is more than just a profession. It's a way of life. And that's something that a lot of doctors have gotten away from recently.
Oh, I think you're absolutely right. Cherie mentioned the burnout rate, Jim. There are some doctors that get into a field and say, I'm going to be here for 10 years, maybe 15 tops. I got to make my money now because I'm out of it after that. And
not trying to drag this out, but there was a very fine doctor who attended me when I was a boy named Andrew Whitaker. God bless him. And outside his office was a horse and a buggy. In cast iron, you know, just like the old country doctors used to.
Sure.
And on his, when he died, and I remember he would come to see me when I was at the hospital and stuff like that, because he saved my life, and he had a special interest in me. Well, he and my father were good friends, too. He helped my father out a lot, particularly after the war. On his tombstone is that very sign. Of the horse and buggy.
Well, you might get a laugh. The doctor that made an impression on me and my young wife, his nickname was Tut. And it was much, you know, had the deep old southern accent. Bobby, what in the world is wrong with you now? It was kind of like going to the doctor to Foghorn Leghorn. And I will revere that man till there's no more me to revere anything.
But, yeah, some of my earliest recollections of being in his office, it was an oil portrait of him in his naval uniform from World War II.
Mm-hmm.
And if there was ever a spitting image of Clark Gable, that was Dr. Andrew Whitaker. and I'm going to tell you, he had more female clients than he could handle. And I remember he came over to see my dad one night, they were having a few drinks, and he said, Jim, he said, my God, they won't leave me alone. Just a few notes from the past.
Absolutely. And
Camden, South Carolina. In the deep south.
Mighty special place. Yeah, the south is a special place. That's why it's worth fighting to bring back to civilization. Honest to God, you know, I got a South Carolina story here. Maybe I'll get to it Monday. Jim, it'll curl your hair. But, you know, it's South Carolina. It's these crazy creatures in North Carolina. It's Billy Jack, I can't remember his last name, in Alabama, had his throat slit, beat to death with a ball bat, and body burned on top of a heap of tires because they thought he was gay. You know, there's a real gothic quality to the South, and I think you'll agree.
I saw the email on that.
Yeah, and I don't think you get William Faulkner if he grows up in St. Louis. I don't think you get Eudora Welty growing up in, and I mean no disrespect, but growing up in Cleveland.
Well, there's only one yacht in the Catawba County.
Ain't that the truth, and thank God for that. Jim, we got to roll. You have a great weekend now.
Likewise, my friend.
All right, take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye. And, of course, remember the rally tomorrow, 10 o'clock till whenever. It's not the First Amendment. It's easy enough. The show tonight, of course, produced by the inimitable John Kepi, engineered by Randy Kerbway, announced at least in part by Brian Reznor, and brought to you as ever by the 20,000 workers of the Affiliated Construction Trades Foundation. If you're working in West Virginia, they're working for you and proving it every day. The show is also brought to you by our very good friends at the West Virginia Pipe Trades. It's hard to express how much we appreciate their support. The show is archived every night when the stream works by Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org. Doggone it. Run on by and have a look. He does an awesome job. Check out some of the other shows there. Randy Rhodes, Mike Malloy. Awesome, awesome radio from a common sense perspective as opposed to all the right-wing drivel. So, Monday? Monday good for you? Monday's good for me. About 7 o'clock, say? About 7 o'clock. Maybe almost 7.